We Share the Cross, written and narrated by Bill Lawson. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Luke 14:27. Central to discipleship. Jesus embraced the cross through his ministry as he was heading toward Calvary and expects us to embrace ours as well. A.T. Robertson, in his Word Pictures of the New Testament, depicts our figurative cross as an extension of the cross Christ actually carried to Calvary. The cost of being a disciple, Luke tells us, is the cross. The cross has always been central to the Christian faith because that's where Christ gave his life for us at Calvary. When we share the sacrament of Holy Communion, we participate in Christ's work at Calvary. The eternal events continue. According to the New Testament, his eternal sacrifice made once for all of us continues. The cross, Hebrews explains, became the ultimate sacrifice that brought an end to the sacrificial system of paying retribution fees in order to cover our sins. The cross has brought us into a new reality, a separate reality, one where the cross is central in our thinking and to our living. We join with Jesus and embrace the cross of Christ as our own. We step out, as it were, out of the city, out of the gates, and become a part of who he is, and enter into his kingdom, enter into his view. We accept his call to discipleship. The cross is central to Christianity, but not just as an emblem. The reason the cross is such a powerful symbol is owing to the sacrifice he made when he gave himself up for us. Arguably, the cross is also the central event in human history. Consider all the different historical events that were influenced by the cross. Think of the many societies, nations, and laws that have been shaped over the centuries under the banner of the cross. Most importantly for each of us, the cross is central to our discipleship. That's what the Lord Jesus is saying here. To be his disciple, we must focus on the cross. Pick up our cross, not just now and then, but every day, continuously. Jesus said, "Take up the cross and follow me." If we're not willing to do that, we're going to miss out on what it essentially means to be disciples of Jesus Christ. We could still be associated with the organization of the church or linked to some of his teachings that we like. We can even apply some of those lessons in our lives. But to be a disciple of Jesus, a student and follower of Christ who wants to be like Christ, we have to take up our cross, even as he took up his. Responsibility. One aspect of our cross encompasses our responsibilities. During Holy Week, on one of the last days of his earthly ministry before the crucifixion, Jesus was teaching in the temple. Someone asked him a trick question, whether to pay tribute to God or Caesar. Jesus referenced the picture of the emperor on a coin and answered, "Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's." His response indicates we have responsibilities to governmental authorities to which we are subject, to the authority of our family, friends, employers, and others who have roles of authority in our lives. We have a duty to meet their expectations and demands and rules. Sometimes these expectations can be heavy crosses, but we accept these obligations and do our best to fulfill them. We also have responsibilities to God, who expects us to follow the teachings of Christ and implement them in our lives the best we can. Nature itself has a way of imposing penalties when we violate natural laws. Likewise, when we ignore the principles of spirituality, God won't chase us down for punishment, but we will experience the consequences of our errors. When we do things the wrong way, we're going to get bad results. We have an obligation to each other, and especially to those among us who are struggling the most, the least, the last, and the lost, as the saying goes. Jesus said, "Inasmuch as you have done it, or not, unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it, or not, unto me." We have a responsibility to help each other, to be supportive of one another, and to reach out to the people around us. We have a duty to extend our reach as far and efficiently as possible, to do as much good and help all the people we can. This challenging commission is expressed powerfully in the rule attributed to John Wesley: "Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can." Doing good is more than an option for us as followers of Christ. It's a responsibility God gives us according to the teachings and example of Jesus. Helping others is part of our cross, our burden, our responsibility. If we don't do it, not only do those suffer whom we neglect, but we bring suffering on ourselves as well. Sometimes that can have long-lasting, maybe even eternal, consequences. We have a responsibility to keep the commitments we make. The Bible tells us to pay our vows to the Lord. We see examples in the Scripture of people like Ananias and Sapphira who made commitments to God, and when they didn't keep them, there were terrible consequences. Perhaps we each have our own examples of regret and remorse for times when we have made commitments and didn't keep them. We must at least try to do our best to be faithful to the promises we give to each other, to God, and to the world around us. We are expected to keep our word, whether those obligations are miniature, having to do with seemingly minor details in our daily lives, or whether they are formal, lifelong covenants. Opportunity. Sometimes it almost feels like nails are being driven when we think about the responsibility part of the cross, but all of the responsibilities are accompanied by excellent opportunities. The cross represents opportunities to do good, to serve God and our country and the world and church and neighbors. We have opportunities to be more than we could be if we weren't embracing our cross. The chance to serve is paramount in our choice of churches. We need and love a church that gives us ways to participate in meaningful service. We want to take advantage of these opportunities and make the most of them. We share in these opportunities. We're not alone. Everybody's got some sense of opportunity, but we have more ways that we can do good and help one another in association with one another when we join hands and hearts and minds together and tackle a problem. There are so many problems in every community. Every day we confront issues that no one could resolve by themselves. We must work together with others to get the job done. We could find many analogies from our working professional lives. There is hardly anything that one person can do all by themselves without any help from anybody. We share the opportunities, we share the work, and we share the cross that Christ gives us. Through our sharing, we develop a sense of fellowship we cannot apprehend any other way. We are sharing the cross of Christ, sharing the body and blood of Christ, sharing the ministry and the vision and the love of Jesus Christ. Sometimes we share the suffering and pain that comes with the cross. We also share in the joy and the happiness and the blessing. We find all of these and more in the dynamics of the cross. They're ours when we embrace the cross. They give us insight as to why Christ so firmly embraced his cross and why he now summons us to join him in bearing our cross and being his disciples. Crown. Woven into the cross is the crown. James wrote in his letter, as translated in the New International Version, "Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him." We get to be a part of the productive miracles. Sacramentally, we lay our hands on people and anoint them with oil. We pray for God to bring healing in their lives, to heal their body or mind or spirit or situation, whatever is going on in their lives. We pray together at church every week, and then we take those prayers home with us, and we think about each other, and we lift each other up in prayer every day. We are part of the miracles for which we pray. By taking up our cross and following Christ each day, we get the opportunity to truly have a hand in the miracles God works through us. When we help somebody solve a problem and it works, and it gets them through the day, then on that day we have been a part of the miracle, and we get to share the joy of that miracle. We get the happiness of being a part of something that is so far beyond us that maybe we don't even grasp the relevance of our role. We might not quite see our connection sometime to the miracles God is performing in our lives and those of our family and friends, but we are a part of them. When we do good, when we embrace our cross and do whatever work God gives us to do, we also inherit the joy that is intrinsic to the deed. This joy is the crown of the victory of the miracle, and that's life. That's where life is. If we miss the cross, we miss life. If we miss the opportunities, we miss life. If we miss the responsibilities, We miss life. That's where life is. Life is given through the cross, the emblem of suffering and shame, as poetically stated by George Bernard in The Old Rugged Cross. Christ converted it into a symbol of eternal life. That's where life is, in the cross. Invitation to embrace our cross. Christ invites us to take up our cross today, and again tomorrow, and again the next day, every day. Take up your cross and follow me. That's our salvation. It's not only an event long ago. Because we embrace that salvation, we find and experience our salvation. Christ invites us to join him in his cross at this moment and find our salvation in him and his cross and in the life that he gives us to enter into his peace. Yes, sacrifice does accompany the cross. It's a different kind of sacrifice than what a lot of times we associate with the term. Back until then, the idea of sacrifice was transactional. Christ has transformed the concept of sacrifice, enabling us to embrace something more important. We give up the things that are painful to us and others and seize the things that bring joy to ourselves and others. The cross is a sacrifice of love and prayer and friendship. As expressed by Kirk Dearman in his song, We Bring the Sacrifice of Praise, ours is a sacrifice that brings joy. We understand a little bit more why Christ was willing to give himself up so fully and freely for us. He wants us all to share the joy of being together in heaven. Hebrews encourages us to extend our sacrifice to the loftiest heights, saying, By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. God wants us all to experience heaven, not just in the life of the world to come, but in this hour, here today. He wants the glory to come down and fill our souls. As John Peterson conveyed in his hymn, Heaven Came Down, he wants us to feel our eternal life now. He wants us to be aware of the eternal life that has already started in our hearts and minds. Regardless of the condition of our body, regardless of what's going on around us and struggles of life that we're helping each other deal with, Christ wants us to feel his joy and presence and comfort and love enveloping us and incorporating us into his heaven. He wants us to enjoy his companionship right now, in this hour, at this moment. The book of Hebrews expounds the theology of the cross, saying, But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Chapter 11 of Hebrews, often called the Hall of Faith, highlights the lives of a lot of people who embraced the cross before it was called a cross. They lived back in the Old Testament times. They welcomed their responsibilities and made these sacrifices on behalf of their faith. It tells what they gave up and some of their immediate and long-term rewards. Then following in chapter 12, the Bible says, Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Christ invites us to take up the cross. He invites us to embrace our cross and to share his cross with each other. We are invited to join Jesus in the responsibilities and opportunities encompassed by the cross and to share with Christ the glory of the crown of life. We Share the Cross was written and narrated by Bill Lawson. Copyright 2016, William H. Lawson, Jr., all rights reserved. Bible quotations are from the King James Version, except as otherwise indicated. Scripture highlighted as being quoted from the New International Version are from the Holy Bible, New International Version, NIV, copyright 1973, 1978, 1984, 2011, by Biblica Incorporated. Used by permission, all rights reserved worldwide. The PDF version of We Share the Cross is posted at www.lectionary.us and contains the copyright page and the bibliography and the notes. This is the end of the audio file.